Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. Tim Irwin's here. Tim's a great friend, longtime, almost 10-year member of our Brain Trust. He's managing partner over at Irwin Inc. He's a licensed psychologist and adjunct professor at psychology at the University of Georgia. He's the author of three outstanding books, at least three that I know of. Impact is his new one. Leadership Changes Everything. Tim Irwin, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim. Always great to be with you.
Dude, good to have you back. Did I get that right? Impact's the new one?
Impact is the latest. I've got a new one, a newer one coming out next year.
Right. Okay. Well, it's not new yet. It's still in utero, right?
That's right. Definitely in utero.
I got one of those myself that I'm incubating right now. So, okay, Tim. I was telling the audience before you got here about how unique the leadership dynamic is in a small business with the way the relationship rolls out between the employer and the employees. You know, over time we wind up adopting each other, and I mean, it really is. It's a double adoption. They adopt us, we adopt them. We're all family, but yet things. You know, people have to make decisions, and people contribute, but at some point in time, people have to realize, you know, that it's not a democracy. At some point in time, it might be a little bit of a dictatorship. So how do we make people more productive? How do we lead them more productively? How do we transform them into leaders?
Jim, I think you're asking exactly the right question. I frequently speak to groups of leaders, and I often ask them a question, and I say, how many of you believe that many, maybe not all, but many of the people in your organization are capable of contributing at a higher level than they currently are? And I get about 100% response.
Mm-hmm.
Just about everybody would say, yeah, you know, these people can do more than they're doing. The second question is more difficult, and that is, okay, you're the leader. If they're not contributing, then why aren't they?
You know, that's when they say you stop preaching and start meddling, right? Right, Tim?
That's right. This is when, this is the sort of thing that should keep you up at night. And then the third question is, how do you fix it? There's a lot of data that supports this, by the way. I was reading a Gallup study recently of 2015 data that says that only 67% of the workforce broadly says that they are fundamentally disengaged.
How many?
So that should be, whether you have one employee, 100, or 1,000.
What was that disengagement number again?
67%.
Well, wow. I wonder if that's the way I heard that broken down was that one third was engaged, one third was not disengaged, but not necessarily engaged, sort of in never never land, and the other they show up from time to time, and then one third was actively disengaged. So it's probably the same numbers. But
well,
still,
really,
the bottom line is you only got one third who were actually pulling the full weight.
You remember that old movie Office Space?
Yeah.
The consultant's interviewing this character named Peter, and he says, "Hey, I probably say in a given week, I probably do about 15 minutes of actual work."
I mean,
we all have a Peter that works for us, right?
Right, and I suspect things have gotten worse since we got on the internet too, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it's amazing how often you see people playing solid here. But the fundamental question is, what do we do about it? And that's what I'm writing about in this new book. How do you really get people engaged? How do you transform people? That's the question leaders should be asking is, how do I transform these people and get them to care, get them engaged, and so on?
So what kind of an answer have you come up with so far?
Well, the answer is surprising in a sense. There's a lot of brain research that's being done about, you know, we can do these amazing things with MRIs and all these things, but what we're finding is that the brain is wired for negativity. It has what's called a negativity bias. The amygdala, which is the most primitive part of the brain, has this negativity bias.
That's the fight or flight. That's the fight or flight part of the
brain.
Fight
or flight, and what happens is criticism feeds that negativity bias. And so a lot of the managers, a lot of the leaders that I've worked with over the years are fairly harsh critics of the people that work for them. And that's fundamentally the wrong way to engage people.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it sets them on this fight or flight path that you just mentioned, and it feeds that negativity bias. And so all these defenses go up, and it just makes it drives people farther away. Conversely, and this is the interesting thing, is that they show on these MRI studies that when you affirm somebody, the brain lights up like a Christmas tree.
Right. The other person.
Exactly.
The person you're affirming lights up. Yeah.
The high functioning part of the brain lights up, and the person begins to really come alive.
Right.
And so when you affirm somebody in the right way, that's what really creates that change. The dilemma is a lot of people don't know how to do that. They don't know how to affirm people. They think it's more of a compliment, like, "Hey, you got nice shoes." That's not the sort of thing that lights up the brain.
It seems to me there's almost a double jeopardy thing there between the amygdala challenge we've got with it. We're hardwired. We're primordially wired to be negative, as you say. But then you've got this other thing. If I affirm you, then that means I'm sort of subordinating me. And egos won't always let people do that. So
that's exactly right.
Between the reptilian part of our brain and our ego, this is the crux of leadership. And this is why I like to talk about, as often as I can, something that people have been using the term a long time, and that's servant leadership. What do you think?
Well, servant leadership is a very powerful concept, but as you said, unless a person is grounded in themselves, they have a strong core, they're comfortable with who they are, they're self-aware, it's very hard to affirm another person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very hard to serve another person to that point.
And so if we subscribe to the point that we need to affirm people to help them, then if we're going to affirm them, as you say, we have to get out of our own way, don't we?
We really do. And by the way, the affirmation has been shown to be the most powerful when it affirms people in their core. In other words, it affirms their integrity or affirms their life purpose.
Tim, hold on to that thought, folks. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to ask Tim about how do we do this with millennials.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.